football on off the ball.
Definitely not failed loans, but I've gone out there and different culture, different league, trying to learn the ropes of everything. It's coming good at a good time. I think he scored 2 weeks ago as well.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
This is Off the Ball Breakfast.
Ireland's sports breakfast show.
The good.
Is it a step too far to say it was the performance so far of the World Cup? Maybe not.
The bad.
I'm scratching my head. The performances was just lacked that intensity.
And the amber. Off the Ball's performance rankings.
Yes, so much to chat through. Manchester Derby, so United 2, City 0, which included 3 disallowed goals, the ball striking the woodwork twice, and Gianluigi Donnarumma performing heroics throughout the game. This could have been a walloping. And turn out just to be comfortable.
Stephen O'Keefe was man of the match for Ballygunner. I was like, if City get out of this alive, Donnarumma has to be man of the match.
Mm. Pretty good.
You're very excited, right?
Like, no.
Ah, come on! You're allowed to dream.
No, because I was trying to think about it, and then I saw it written down, so I'll take it as verbatim. I think, with the exception of Moyes,
everybody won their first game.
No. Every one of the post-Ferguson managers, permanent at least, have beaten City.
It's just the manner of it, though. That's what matters.
The manner is what was different, but it's probably a weaker City team than it's been, or a more vulnerable City team than it's been in a lot of those times as well.
Yeah.
It's hard to know. Like, you wouldn't be judged. You can't judge off.
Rodri,
like,
Foden, Silva.
Yeah, Rodri.
Diminished, isn't he?
Looks a little bit, yeah. Foden gets hooked at halftime. Haaland gets hooked.
Like,
completely anonymous.
Foden had a 6 week period where he was back and now he's gone again.
They just look a bit shaky. I mean, Semenyo kind of looks like.
They must be due a mid season trip to the Middle East to recharge their batteries.
And you'd find the time.
Well, they're going to have to.
But it was good. It's a good win. They'll test them. They'll probably do the same against Arsenal at the weekend. And then I think it's like maybe Fulham is the first game after that at home.
I did see somebody saying that'll be the real test.
It will.
He's only ever had box office games in charge of Man United.
He's only ever won, isn't he?
One draw. So now he's four games, 3 wins, 1 draw.
Straight.
And he has managed against Unai Emery, Thomas Tuchel, Mikel Arteta and Pep Guardiola.
Ah, oh, he's a genius.
And it's Mikel Arteta next again.
I mean, I think you should get carried away. You're allowed momentarily to get carried away and start dreaming.
It was really enjoyable. Don't get me wrong. And they played really well.
Yeah, it was a good team. He named a good team. I liked the look of his team. And the goals were great. Gary Neville talked about getting emotional for Brian and Bruno's one because it reminded him of the United of old. The counter-attack. It was like Bruno Fernandes had 3 options by my count of what to do with the ball. And he picked the correct one and he executed it perfectly. And all Bruno had to do was use the favourite foot to pass it into the corner. And then Cunha, even his cross for Patrick Dorgan's goal, you know, a right-footed player running down the right-hand byline and crossing it in is a throwback.
I think as well, the fact that he didn't make the signings. I mean, Amram obviously didn't make the signings either, but he didn't feel like he had to pick them all and put them in the same team, which would have slightly imbalanced the team, here I say.
Yeah.
And, like, Ahmad back, Mbouma back.
Made a massive difference. Diallo back was huge for them. He was just extremely good. Do you know what I mean? But then you see like even when you have Bruno freed up there, like, you kind of forget how unbelievably good he is. Everything about him, even Manu as well, like, it's just so sharp and everything is so quick, and it's just, he's the one guy where you're like, this guy, even, and I'm not saying on quality wise necessarily or form wise or anything, but he's the one guy you'd slip into a elite level team where you're like, oh, that guy can kind of hold his own. He has all those basics down. Now, who knows if he kicks on, whatever. But
it was funny that Neville kept saying, he's tired, get him off. And then it's like, no.
See you at the match.
But obviously not listening to the COCOM the way maybe they have been in the past.
With the exception of just the lunatic with Dallo. Pretty amazing performances, 1 through 11, so to speak. You can't really fault it.
What is going on with City? I know you all want to talk Man United, and we'll come back to it in a minute, but what is going on? Just when they seem to get things back, Pep is like, it does look like Haaland has the yips. I don't know, was it on this show or was it on the evening show? Somebody was like, he looks kind of yippy at the moment.
Like, well, he didn't have a, like, I'll be honest with you, it's not, so what match was I was at the one where United won 2-1. It was a similar time kickoff actually on the Saturday, and it was that one where there was a goal scored. It was Ten Hag and they won 2-1 at Old Trafford. I think Ten Hag's first season. And Haaland did nothing. I think he'd one shot or something like that over the bar. And it was a bit like, so it's not uncommon for him to get kind of just closed up in those games. He just doesn't, he didn't get anything. He got no chance. He got nothing at all. So I don't know if it's a sign of any greater kind of thing. It does happen. It's in his locker.
Well, the rest of the team is also bad.
Yeah, pretty bad.
I do think Rodri is looking old.
They were pretty poor. I don't know, but like the back four was kind of, you did see it and you're kind of like, oh, it's like, okay, that's, and then one of the defenders gets hooked off at half time as well.
And they have a 20 and a 21 year old fullback in the second half.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now they will,
both might be midfielders.
If Mark Gay signs and that works, they could start out their defence. I was talking with Simon Lee about that on Friday, that they're the back four against Newcastle in the Cup, which they won 2-0 at St James's Park. Were two lads that he had discarded for most of the season, Aki and Kusinov, a right back who was signed as a creative midfielder but can't get into the team there in Nunes, and then a young fella at Lane. That was their back four. It was very much a League Cup defence, but it was in the semi-final and they won. So yeah. So we were kind of complimenting Pep as recently as Friday, being like, he's
for being creative with
that. Managers to get the most out of these players that on paper doesn't look that great. But he admitted afterwards better team won. There was no way around it. Sure, I was actually watching back Sky Sports highlights of the game this morning as a matter of interest to see what they included and what they omitted. And they left out two of the three offside goals. They can't fit in all the United chances.
Yeah.
You know? And those, I mean, the Mason Mount one they included because that was really celebrated because people thought that was actually going to count.
What, sorry, why wasn't this allowed?
Not sure.
It was an offside?
All three were offside.
In the build-up. But
so Ahmad and then Bruno. Bruno Fernandes had a lovely finish in the first half too where he sold the defender and passed it into an empty net, Astro style.
The Everton disallowed goal was ridiculous at the weekend. Jacob Ryan had like a brilliant 5 minutes where he scored and saved one at the other end. And I was outrageous. Like, I actually don't really understand the offside rule at the moment, the way it's constituted. It doesn't make any sense to me. Sometimes it's given, sometimes it's not.
Yeah.
It's bollocks.
It was. Well, the most egregious being that first one against Fulham a few weeks ago. But alas, I don't know. It was probably the best performance I've had in years, to be honest with you. Which is not, I don't think, stressing things too much. I genuinely think all things considered, I mean,
since before Amram was
it
there.
It was a phenomenal performance from the get-go and kind of...
with a good result.
Yeah, with they kind of got their just rewards a bit. So it was kind of, that's a strange thing to see. All of a sudden you're like, geez, a very strong bench here. When you're bringing on Cunha and Mason Mount. And you're like, guys who can really play. So, I don't know. It bears fruit. I love sudden, like, it just looks, it's like one weekend and the whole dynamic kind of shifts in terms of, like, everyone above you drops points, you win. And then it's like,
yeah.
Who's catchable?
One thing is sure to be, it's very going to be very reactionary for the whole season after every single result when it comes to Carrick.
You're against giving it to him in Arsenal. Anything, are you? You're against him getting it in any scenario, right?
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah, it's what's going to walk into the same scenario as Ollie, in my opinion. And we're going to get everyone's going to get carried away and be like, yeah, I give him the job. It's going really well. And nothing would surprise me with this club. Like nothing. Like if they beat Arsenal out the weekend, they'd be like, actually, I'll just give it to him.
Could I ask? So, like, why would it be the wrong choice compared to say, and these are the. Really successful situations, but like
Tuchel,
Arteta at Arsenal, or like comparatively, like why would it be such a bad thing? Like even he's not going to be probably the next Pep Guardiola, but Pep Guardiola goes in with no managerial experience. I saw it, in like you have examples of it where it can work.
But like we weren't said that when Arsenal gave the job to Arteta, it was like this is a big chance, and it didn't look like it was going too well, and then it worked out eventually. And fair play to him for sticking with it. But Arteta had a great. Apprenticeship under Pep Guardiola with Carrick, like he's generally been surrounded by madness wherever he's coached, and then he did a good job at Middlesbrough for a while until he didn't, and then inevitably if he gets the United job he's going to have a bad run, right, at some point if he got it full time, and then I could just see the same thing repeating itself. It's like he'll go on a bad run and they'll keep him on longer than they should, and then they'll sack him and they won't have a plan to replace him, and then they'll get Ole back as interim and then he'll get it again. And so I'm like, just go and get someone like who has experience, who's going to be able to deal with all the crises that will eventually bestow the club. Don't give it to Carrick. let him go off and get experience somewhere else, and then give it to Carrick down the line maybe. But don't get carried away. Don't get too excited by this. Like, use him as an interim spell. Brilliant. Go off and do your thing. Come back.
Can I ask you two questions?
You can.
Where would you get the experience? Where would he be able to get experience enough that it would make him more qualified for that job than he'd have currently? Just in terms of like the scale of the thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, if he goes off and he gets the Crystal Palace job and two or three seasons gets top 10 finishes, you know, really respectable, does all things well. Does that make him more qualified for the Man United job in terms of the stuff you're talking about, the madness element? And if that's the case, would you not just give it to Oliver Glasner right now?
There might be different questions, but the Carrick one, yeah, like, I'd like to see him have some sort of experience, kind of even mid to European qualified Premier League club, just to see how that goes for him. And then if he's doing really well there, has a couple of years, not out of the limelight, but out of the United limelight, and then proves like, oh yeah, he can deal with all these situations, then give it to him for sure. Just like, I just don't think he's going to be ready for it. Like, I mean, look, it's just a weird thing that what's happening, like, at the moment, is you have like Liam Rossignol getting the Chelsea job from Strasbourg. It's like, geez, that you wouldn't think that would make him ready for it. And then Carrick, like, had a job in the Championship at Middlesbrough. That was his one club, like, and they let him go. I was like, geez, it's mental to go from Middlesbrough to Man United full time. So it just doesn't make any sense to me. I think they were brilliant at the weekend. Like, they were exciting as well. That's the other thing. They didn't just win.
Yeah, they were superb.
It was really good football.
It was a great match to watch.
It's an amazing start, like, but like nothing would surprise me. I don't think they should do it. I think they should get someone else in the summer. But I wouldn't be surprised in the slightest to give him the job full time.
Could I ask then, if, not to put you on the spot, but who would you get that you'd kind of go, this is, there's a higher guarantee this works?
Oh, like someone with the longevity and CV that they can actually do well at a club that is kind of chaotic. Like Diego Simeone went in, right, Atletico Madrid. They were a bit of a basket case.
He not be incredibly hostile for that environment, like. He's also, I think, the best paid manager in the world.
Yeah, but like, he's hostile. I'm sure United will sort that out. Like, he's hostile in the sense that, like,
I don't know if he speaks English.
Alex Ferguson, yeah, the English might be problem, but I don't know. Like, I said, some multicultural dressing rooms, though. Like, Ferguson was hostile. You know, like, that wouldn't really bother me that much. Like, he's obviously not a lunatic 100% of the time, Simeone, because I think his message would have long since expired. And in fact, he's been there an awfully long time and consistently does well with them. And that's just one example. Like, obviously, like, this day last week, I was thinking Pochettino would be my not preferred candidate, but I wouldn't mind seeing him do it. Like, well, Pochettino, I was like, well, it would follow my rationale of, like, he has experience with various teams dealing with problematic players with mixed results. I just wouldn't mind seeing him getting the job. But with Carrick, I just think you'd be walking into another disaster. You're just kicking the can down the road. You're just waiting for him to get sacked again.
Yeah, I don't know if I wholly agree. And I'm not saying particularly with him. I just mean of the concept. I think there's a world where it makes a degree of sense. I don't think, like, you necessarily have to go and get the person who's perceived as best in class, because in reality, like, all those guys are good managers, but, like, I don't think, like, there's the odd unicorn that comes along where it's, like, so obvious. The Liverpool thing with Klopp, where it's, like, it's so obvious that this guy is going to get, he is kind of on the upward trajectory. We are getting him in at the perfect time. I don't know if there's anyone out there you'd kind of go like that at the minute. It's like, that guy's a home run. You get him in, he will have a positive impact. I see the likes of Simeone, Pochettino, Tuchel for sure. All come in and flame out in a year.
That's fine. Yeah, it's just, I mean, that to me seems such a depressing way to hire a manager. So, well, there's no one else really. So just give it to this guy. He's there already. And it just feels like this. I'm not saying about you now, but I'm saying, like, even on Friday morning, this talk would have felt fanciful. So you can't give Carrick the job full time. But then they were so good against Man City. And then I think some people were like, oh yeah, maybe it will work actually. And it's just so mad. It's just crazy reactionary stuff. Like, where if United lose two games in a row and Carrick's in charge full time, they'd be like, why did they appoint him? He had no experience. They're making the same mistake again.
But you not have to shut that out, the outside noise. But like, there's a world, like, you can't make the appointment of the manager based purely on the fact, how will the media react if they lose two games in a row? Because they will, as you say, lose two, three games in a row. It'll happen, whoever comes in.
Yeah. Well, like the noise probably derives from, first of all, the feeling of fans, and then secondly, when you're hearing stories about the owners becoming annoyed with the results and impatient. So that actually, they're the owners first actually reacting to what's happening on the pitch, and then the fans follow suit. So it's the same thing with Amrum.
I was at the game in Manchester on Saturday, says Kari Holland. A big rumour was the club all going all out for Luis Enrique.
Mm.
So I'd, like, there's no guarantee Luis Enrique works for various reasons.
That's what I mean. Like,
but you would say the chances of Luis Enrique working are slightly, my view is that the Luis Enrique is more likely to be successful than Michael Carrick is until Michael Carrick has had the opportunity to... and maybe he never gets that opportunity.
I would be wondering what the hell would be motivating Luis Enrique to leave the situation he has to go to Man United.
Who knows?
Like there's like the best, one of the best performances we've ever seen in a Champions League final, not 18 months or not 6 months ago. You're like, I'll pack this all in. Well, and it's like, yeah, it's grand. And like all the best young players in the world. Yeah, wow, that'd be a big old shout.
No more worlds to conquer?
Maybe he has a kind of thing. Yeah, you would say, I'll tell you what, if it's Luis Enrique or Michael Carrick, I'll jump aboard the big one on that. But
I think you asked earlier, like, what can Carrick do? It's like, cut your teeth, you know? Maybe that's less valuable. Maybe you have a certain window where you can connect with a group of players, and whether or not you've managed for 400 games or 40 games, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, like you take David Moyes. He had cut his teeth down to the bare bone. There was no teeth left to cut.
They've been ground down.
Ground down. Chiseled. Nubbins. Just a little thing. And you walk in and, you know, it falls apart in less than a year. I just don't think there's any perfect formula. I don't think there's a person you go,
this person's been really successful. I think there's a better bet. Like, I mean, she's on Friday, we're talking about jobs for the boys, like, and it's just lads
well,
getting hired because they know each other.
Jobs for the boys.
And I know, but it's a big conversation going around. Like, it's not just Roy Keane.
I don't think it is, though.
And then it's just, this is just crazy. Like, we're just going to keep him going around every week because Carrick beat Man City. He was like, oh, now he can get the job. Then he beats Arsenal. He's definitely going to get the job. And then they lose to Fulham and then they lose the next game. Oh, maybe not, actually. It's all reactionary.
Names being thrown out around here, like lads roaring out answers at a table quiz, says Jeff Rich. I think, Jeff, you'll find that they've got to write down the answers at a table quiz. There's no rounds you're allowed to sort it out. But of course it's going to be reactionary. Like, you should respond to new information that comes to light. When results go bad, you should take action.
Yeah, but that's really short-term stock exchange type hiring and firing. Like, you have to have a plan of some sort.
Well,
like,
okay, look, point about
if this goes bad, do we still have the right man in charge turning around?
But so say in a scenario,
those calculated.
This guy's only in for a few months anyway. So,
but in a scenario where he was to go and
that's the question.
But say to go the rest
at the moment, he's got a limited contract, and they haven't decided that he is going to be in for longer.
But say they go the rest of the season unbeaten. It's an amazing thing, amazing run. They run up top three. You finish third, surpass Villa and Liverpool. Finish third.
Mm.
Even at that point, you'd go, well, no, that's reactionary. That's based on results. Well, can't do that.
Well, then they will give him the job. Well, but then it's a different story for Carrick, because then I'd still let him go, because it's still a different story. He's interim charge, right? So at the moment, he thinks, I'm going to do a job for them until the summer and then I'm gone. That's in his head right now. Then you give him the job full time, you give him a 3-year contract. Like, that's a different story now. Now you're responsible for planning. Now you're responsible for everything about the club, right? At the moment, you're just taking us through to the end of the season. It's a handy enough one to come into, right? Because there's such a low ebb. Everyone was mad depressed at that club. The manager hated the players. He comes in, he just likes them a bit, and it's going really well. Then as soon as you give him the keys to the full thing, it was like, oh, hold on now, you're not just renting the house, now you're buying it, now you have to sort out all the furniture.
We will come back to this with Henry Winter in about 15 minutes' time, so.
Green?
Oh, Man United. Oh. Yeah.
What else in the Premier League? So Spurs and Crystal Palace are here together. So Spurs lose again at home to West Ham. Conor Gallagher on his debut for Tottenham. This looks inevitable for Thomas Frank, doesn't it? And also for Oliver Glasner. So when we wrapped the show that we did last on Friday, Mark Gahey was still a Palace player. Still is, of course. But didn't know where he was going to go. And Oliver Glasner was still relatively handy in the Palace seat. And since then, Man City are going to sign Mark Gahey. And Oliver Glasner announced he was going to leave the club at the end of the season. Then Palace played. They lost to Sunderland. I think we have the video here, do we? Of this, of Oliver Glasner?
Yeah.
I think players gave everything they could. We have seen, we have made no substitution. Look at the bench, just kids there in our attack. And you know, I said before, we feel that we are being abandoned completely. And you know, selling our captain one day before a game, completely no understanding for this. You know, we're preparing, and then yesterday at 10:30 I get told that our captain will be sold. So why not next week, that we can play at least this game next week? Other players are coming back, and that's makes me really upset today. If your heart gets torn out twice a year, and with Eze one day before a game in summer, and your captain one day before a game, I've just no understanding. I'm in football now for more than 30 years. I've never experienced this, not once, and now it happens twice within 6 or 7 months.
Yeah. And they didn't sack him. So they had meetings, that was on Saturday evening. They had meetings yesterday. Talks were cordial, and everybody decided, because he had already announced on Friday that he wasn't going to, once the decision about Gaye was made public, he was like, yeah, I'm not signing a new contract. These two things obviously very, very connected.
Yeah.
And now, should Palace just sack him?
Well, I mean, like, there are more egregious comments than Ruben Amorim's.
They did
bad.
Make peace afterwards, right? So he'll have to come out and face the, is there a bit where Palace have actually, they're doing okay? So hear me out, right? They've got rid of all of their best players. And they've reached an absolute peak with this manager, and now they've managed to piss him off to the point where he's leaving. But the fans will at some point be like, well, you're leaving anyway. Our club is our club. And somehow this bungling ownership is actually going to end up, maybe not in the credit section, but somebody else will be taking some of the blame. He'll be the one on the touchline. They'll chant his name. They'll lose. They'll be like, okay, sing your hook, mate. Get someone in who's... he's going to be here for the long haul.
I saw the Sky Sports News yellow bar that Oliver Glasner's going to end, we're going to leave at the end of the season, and I thought, like, I'll just go now. Because I don't know what the statistics are of manager announced he's going to leave at the end of the season, how well that manager does for the rest of that season.
The lame ducks.
Because everyone knows they're gone.
They probably have a feasible enough shot of winning the Conference League. Which would not be nothing.
Yeah.
I mean...
now they've been terrible in Europe so far.
Yeah, they have, yeah. But, yeah, they, I mean...
Do you both think he's going to stay? For now,
yeah.
Well, they announced it yesterday.
Yeah, I think so.
I think so. I thought I really.
You know, there's no odds this morning.
No time.
Yeah, but maybe not. Maybe he does. It is weird when it's already preordained that he's going. So it's like,
out of the two, would you say Frank's gonna go sooner?
Oh Jesus, yeah. I'd say he could be gone already.
There are no available.
I don't know if he's showing up to work this morning.
We'll keep an eye on the. We'll refresh.
Right, Thomas Frank, 20-1 on.
I don't know.
That's the actual opposite price that no one wants to put money on.
Here's a question. Would you bring Ange back to the end of the season?
Jesus, no.
Where?
Spurs.
Fellas.
Because he started great at Spurs. He got a couple of manager of the months.
Yeah.
Short term deal, you're definitely not going to get the job in the summer, Ange. Get them playing some football.
Interim Ange,
yeah, might work for him.
They were the most egregious comments you've ever seen from somebody who didn't get sacked immediately.
Yeah, I guess, but like
you've been abandoned.
People call him, he's the greatest manager ever.
Yeah.
So I suppose for that reason alone,
he's not wrong.
He's staying put.
I mean, no, he's not wrong.
It is. I did think about it after. I didn't think about it at the time, and then did think about it afterwards. The fact of like, you can't be like agreeing to sell Gaye the day before a match.
Yeah.
It's like God Almighty. It's like when he had that point, it was like, what am I supposed to say to the players?
And also, they've been doing, all week long, they've been doing their set pieces and Gaye's. Okay, so he's going to be the one. And it's like, oh, he's gone, lads.
He's my best defender. It's like, nah, can't play him now. I would, I think it's a grown-up response to it, though. They don't have to lose the head and go, you've disrespected us, get out. It's fine.
There's so many people have to leave clubs overall. It's a great market if you're free. Who got the Palace job? It's a very specific one. Good one for Michael Carrick in the summer. Two reds there, so for Spurs and Palace. What year did Wigan Athletic win the FA Cup? What year? WhatsApp only. I saw a rogue answer there. I tried my best to ignore it. WhatsApp only. 0879-180-180. What year did Wigan Athletic win the FA Cup? We'll be back to football, of course, with Henry Winter throughout the show as well. And you've loads of comments as well talking about it. But here's one for all you lovers of... Shouting fraud. Munster 29, Cast 31. So Munster score 5 tries to Cast 4. They are 22-12 up in the final quarter. Damning statistic here, Gerard. 4 times in a row now. And at Munster, sorry, 3 European Cup games in a row, that Munster have conceded 14 points when down to 14 men.
It's something like 54 points over the...
Crazy. And maybe this sums it all up, right? Because an awful lot happened in this match. This was comments from the big man afterwards, Clayton McMillan. So he points to a few things, like missed tackles, missed opportunities, delay and urgency. But the big disappointment for me and the worrying trend, I guess, is that we really worked hard to score some points, but we give up points very quickly after scoring, which is what we saw right at the end of the first half when Craig Casey scores his second try and then Cass go down the other end right before halftime. So you have elements of positivity. You have Casey, who didn't look like he was going to play at all, has a stormer in certain aspects of his game, scores twice. Edwin Adagbo scores a brace. And Jack Crowley, right? Jack Crowley. So the only thing that people talk about here is Jack Crowley's kicking. So he misses 2 out of 5 kicks, but overall plays quite well. But you're not going to talk about that because his kicking was so bad. Lo and behold, Munster in the Challenge Cup.
Were Munster, they were extremely heavy favourites for this, weren't they?
23-point favourites.
It's a kind enough reading you're giving it here.
It's the first time in 20 visits that Cast have won at Thomond Park.
23-point favourites.
That's what according to Donal.
So this is an embarrassment.
And some of this rugby was scintillating at times. And if they could only defend a bit. You know, Spurs would wish that they have this exciting play in their team from Munster. Because they left scores behind them.
They sacked off the manager who was doing that.
But they just can't keep the points out at the moment. So, plenty to work on. Amber, is it?
According to the Examiner this morning, Munster's Euro reset, maybe Challenge Cup isn't such a bad thing?
Well, the Challenge Cup looks quite interesting.
Good grief.
Right? Quite interesting.
What's going on? We'll give Leinster dogs abuse for like not winning by 14 plus.
Well, I mean, Leinster really weren't great against Bayern, I have to say. Poor game. 7-3 down for a long time.
I don't get it. Is this not
a
catastrophic thing for Munster? Am I kind of misunderstanding?
I think Munster's season has been such a success, having won the URC when they beat Leinster in Croke Park in October or whenever that was. They got a couple of trophies that night.
Yeah.
And well, as a result...
That was embarrassing, to be fair, for Leinster. That was embarrassing.
All
jokes aside, that was a bit of a humiliation. We shouldn't laugh at that.
Is this not a catastrophe?
We should not laugh at what happened to Leinster that night. That wasn't funny. Right. It's not good for Irish rugby what happened that night, actually.
Not good for Irish rugby.
Because Leinster laughed.
Where's all the... it must be Munster, the form team. Put them all in the Ireland squad there. That's the team we need.
I don't think anyone who talks like that would say that. Which is the problem, isn't it? So the round of 16 draw in the Challenge Cup.
All the posh
class.
It's quite good.
Are we not overlooking? Was this a disaster?
Munster away to Exeter.
Sorry, in fairness, Donal Lennon has called this disastrous night at home.
Okay. Yeah.
And
despite the odds, with the bookies offering a 23-point spread in Munster's favour, Cast clearly fancy their chances.
Yeah. Ulster on the same side of the draw as Munster. La Rochelle on that side too. So Munster could play La Rochelle in the semi-finals of the Challenge Cup. Connacht, on the other hand, are on the other side of the draw.
There used to be a daily email from The Guardian called The Fiver, in which they would refer to whatever the third tier competition in European soccer as a goblet of minor prestige. Who are the sponsors of the Challenge Cup?
I don't know.
The Challenge Cup. I challenge you to a duel. Honestly, what do you think about this? Do you not care? Is it Munster fans have become so apathetic about their team that they're not like, this is bullshit. This is totally unacceptable.
It was a really poor defensive display for sure. Really poor. And then you think, well, there's not going to be any interest in the Challenge Cup, but it's just the draw is quite interesting.
No, there's not even cares.
That's not beside the point.
It's quite interesting.
It's a series of friendlies.
We have to wait until Easter for this to happen.
They don't want to be in the Challenge Cup.
Which is a shame. That's 3 months away.
There's definitely
a desire to be in the Champions Cup for sure.
I know rugby's not reactionary or as reactionary as football, but like, so where's the Clayton McMillan experiment stand now?
It started very well. You just question what's happening at the moment, but like, he's so honest as well afterwards that there's only so many negative things he can say about his own squad. He said plenty of them on Saturday night. It's interesting if the AZ Alkmaar manager has left his role at the club. Don't know what this will mean for Troy Parrott. So Munster, yeah, very much in the red from the weekend. Pops of positivity with individuals, but defensively absolutely all over the shop. And we'll get stuck into this with Quinny properly.
And like, it's the same coaching ticket in the back room.
Yeah, I mean, look,
it's not like it's a new defensive system that's being installed. It's not like it's new. Yeah. It's I don't know.
Well, I see Darius put through there that Keane Tracy asked McMillan if the job was too big for him. Hmm. So, as Darius says, we're getting to that territory.
Yeah, and then was it the other day we were asking when Scott Robertson left the job? I said, geez, will McMillan get the New Zealand job? Should Munster fans be worried?
Was anyone asking that?
Yeah, a few Munster fans.
Like, get rid of him.
No, keep him, please. Keep him.
Yeah, I'd be interested. I'd like to know. Obviously, Alan will know. But I'm surprised by the lack of uproar.
I know.
It seems to be mutely kind of accepted.
Well, like, look at Munster in the Champions Cup the last few years. Like, it's been very poor.
But that's not why you brought a new manager in?
Oh yeah, but it's his first year. Like, it would have been an absolute disaster if they played terrible rugby and they weren't scoring or didn't look like scoring. They are, like, they just got to sort out themselves defensively. It just reads so badly because it's cast, like, you know. Munster be cast at home all the time. They're heavy favourites for it, so they massively flattered to deceive in that regard. But they're still, like, if they were doing nothing, they have shat the bed here. If they were doing nothing, yeah, but I mean, you can work on shitting the bed, as everyone does.
Can I ask one more question? Because I know we're tight on time.
And your instinct here is to defend them as opposed to like hold them to account.
I do. I massively hold them to account.
And in what way though? What, like, the Challenge Cup is going to be great. We're really looking forward to it.
Personally, yeah, that's not for, you don't deserve to know what I think of Munster, okay? Really. Because you're just so delighted, you know.
I don't care. I'm not delighted. It makes no odds to me whatsoever. It genuinely doesn't. I'm not even remotely. I'm just interested. But like, my other point is for Crowley.
Well, it's funny because...
He won't play another game at top.
Yeah.
Elite level until, if he plays in the Six Nations.
Well, I mean, he could play in a few weeks, I suppose, yeah. I did see someone saying that Crowley should be fourth choice now for Ireland.
Yeah. Who's third?
Murphy.
Okay. Poor choice for Ireland, so yeah, not even carrying the bags.
This is the excitement of the reactionary world we live in. He missed. Kicking's been terrible all year. Yeah,
he missed those kicks. You can't be missing those kicks in those games.
That one that he put like 10 yards right was unbelievable. Like that was. Did you know that one? That technique just. I think that was for a dog. Both seconds we were the Munster were 22. I want to say 22-17 up at that point. So that was an absolute killer. It was a killer. But no, like, obviously, all jokes aside, like, McMillan laid into them publicly. You can imagine what he said privately. It's extremely frustrating because the problem is they have lost the privilege of trust, the Munster players, among the fans at Thomond Park. They trust them to get the job done here. And you can't trust them at the moment. There's a softness to the centre, for sure. As like, the only thing that was going for was like, they're scoring nice tries here. They're doing it's some good stuff. Like, just can't finish.
The one thing you'd say is that he needs to be given an opportunity to try and get some recruitment in, but the recruitment is obviously at a club level. So, like, has the recruitment been good enough? Is the academy good enough? Are the academy players coming through quick enough? Who did Castor end up getting in the competition? Northampton Saints away. That would have been one of those great games, great things to look forward to. Northampton versus Munster in the...
Yeah. No, it's a huge shame. Like, Cass, look, they're not flying it at all in top 14 this year. So it's not like it's a great side. And, like, some of the tries too, like, you know, the first half one, the one I talked about after Casey's second try, the kick over the top, the ball is spilled and it's capitalised on. It's just stupid mistakes. Even the body positioning of the attacker Abrahams in the try line for Cass first, way too high, never going to stop him. Now they weren't great at defending some of Munster, like Casey's second try when he does the dummy on the right hand touchline, was where's he going to dummy to, like, and they fall for it. Like, that was poor from their point of view, but at the Munster's defending shocking, like every single time Cast got in, you're just worried. It was like, this is going to have to be an error from them. They also had to try disallowed for a forward pass, which I thought looked fairly marginal on TV, but in person it's always different.
It's the bit where they have the winning of the game in their hands at the end. And
no, look at that score going into the final quarter of the game. Like, it's theirs for the taking. So you never trust them until the game, like literally until the ball is on their side and the clock is in red, is when you start trusting them.
Yeah, look, I don't know.
There's a lot to be said. And McMillan leaving, it's really funny. Like, a couple of months ago, it's like, finally, here we go. And now 2 months later, people are like, I'm not sure about this guy.
It's an interesting thing you bring up. I wouldn't watch this frequently, but that thing about conceding straight after you score.
Yeah.
It was a terrible issue as well for Man United. You just think of mentally kind of questionable where a team is at, kind of mentally, that it's just like that switch off straight away.
Yeah.
You leave yourself open.
And as Dara's pointing out here too, Tom Farrell's yellow card was
David that? Bosang, McMillan losing trust sounded like my dad after my junior cert results. you cannot go drinking tonight.
Like, I'd say it's a big factor because you had 2 tries. Yeah, that's my point there to start, that Munster's concession of points when going down to 14. There's 2 problems there. First of all, can't keep discipline, whatever you think of various refereeing decisions, and secondly, can't defend.
Yeah, but also there's no leadership.
It also looks like there's actually a tackling technique issue when it comes to Munster.
There's no leadership in the team to say, we're down to 14 here. Let's not, like, we're going to do what we need to do. We're going to play the game down their end. Confusion of messaging. Like, a disaster not getting through.
Yeah, it's. But I'm not shocked at the same time. Like, it's a new manager, same players. There's a huge amount of change needs to be made there. Now, would Ronan O'Gara take the Munster job?
That's pressure. I'd say it'd be well advised. Imagine this whole thing. It's such a big thing. Would you move your whole family home? Probably. I mean, whoever, I don't know. Whoever's there, like, but it's... I don't know. I'd say he wants to move into the test arena. Myself. Slow things down. And
would going to Munster hinder those possibilities?
Just don't think he'd need to. He doesn't need to prove himself. I think at club level, he's kind of done it, isn't he?
He's kind of outgrown Munster now.
Probably.
I don't think he ever can outgrow where he's from.
Ah, no, not serious. You'd be surprised. Like, if Munster signed a 2-time Champions Cup winning manager, head coach, in general terms, that would be like, oh, that's
wow, what a coup.
Yeah. That's a huge one, but I mean, at the same time,
there's almost none of those around.
No, it's great, but like La Rochelle are also in the Challenge Cup. You know, they haven't been great.
So you want to get him now?
Get him now while the stock is a little bruised. Get them back up. Get that conference back up, back in Munster, Raj.
Queenie's going to join us in about half an hour. So give us your thoughts, Munster fans. Let's be having you. 0879 180 180 is the WhatsApp number.
Loads of entries coming in. What year the Wigan win the FA Cup? 0879 180 180. Where are we off to?
So Munster in the Amber
next.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, in the Amber, yeah.
From the Amber.
Challenge Cup to look forward to.
The All Ireland Club Final. So Dingle, first one ever. Ballygunner, right? So Ballygunner have won 12 Waterfords in a row, 6 Munsters in that time, and it's their second All-Ireland. They're only the 13th different club to win the Club All-Ireland more than once, only 4th from Munster. So we have a bit of content here to share with you on the Dingle side of it first. This was magic, the way they beat Bridget's right to the death here. Paul Ganey and Mark O'Connor speaking.
That was going to be the way of the game, ebbing and flowing. I felt it maybe when they missed that close enough free, and I felt maybe we had the chance there. You know, because if that one went over, I think it was going to 4. And look, at the same time, we all felt that we were always going to stay in and give it our all. It's just when time is ticking down, and you see fellas starting to go down cramp. It's like, geez, we have to make hay when we get chances here. And you know, your county mess will be at your wedding, and it's your club mess at Berwick. So yeah, it's true.
One of the streets was actually lined with. With Dingle people on the way in and the bus, some fellas were probably trying to avoid it just because the emotions were probably getting a bit too high. But we just managed to, I think we managed to stay calm through it all today, through everything that was thrown at us with the 2-pointer there at the end of normal time. It's obviously very difficult to come back in after, you know, you want to do the right thing. We pushed out on hand really well. And then we probably just needed to do it again with Fallon, but he just, it was such a great kick. So we really had to come in and circle the wagons. But it means the world. Like, this is, as Paul said, like, with the, you know, the club is everything. I mean, like, with the stuff of, you know, inter-county fellas will come to the weddings and all that kind of stuff, which is great. But it is the Dingle boys that will be under the coffin someday. But it just means the world. Like, just, we have such a small population, but it's a quality population. So it was just great to see all those faces in the stand today, and means the world.
It is a quality population. The lads sitting in red, very much in green this morning. We'll fly through the last two here. Shane Lowry at the Dubai Invitational. It was on his club on the 18th, but he double bogeyed, cost him big time. So a red for Shane for just what happened in that instance right there. And Arthur, you want to see his home here, do you? What a bit of snooker.
Friend of the show, Kyron Wilson. Mm-hmm. Masters champion, third time in the final. A bit of a dog of a game, but he showed great doggedness and it was class. Just lovely for him. Nice guy, great player. Snooker's fascinating. Hopefully we'll come back to it later in the week. There's some interesting, the dynamics of it are weird. Mm-hmm.